Rabbi Epstein was giving his Yom Kippur sermon about forgiveness. And during his sermon, he asked his congregation, "How many of you have forgiven your enemies?" About half held up their hands. He then rephrased his question, "How many of you want to forgive your enemies?" Slowly, every hand in the congregation went up, except for one. Little old Sadie Horowitz. Mrs. Horowitz inquired the rabbi, "Are you not willing to forgive your enemies, especially on this day of atonement, when God forgives us all?" She replied sweetly, smiling, "Well, I don't have any enemies." "Mrs. Horowitz," said the rabbi, "that is most impressive. How old are you?" She replied, 98. "Mrs. Horowitz, what a blessing and a lesson to all of us you are. Would you please stand up in front of this congregation and tell us how a person can live 98 years and not have an enemy in the world?" So little old Mrs. Horowitz got up slowly, turned and faced the congregation and smiled and said, "I've outlived all of those old schmucks." So I guess if we live long enough, we have a forgiving heart. We are in the midst of Advent, a time when we are preparing our hearts to receive the coming of love, a holy love into the world. And so in this Advent, we've been following along Kathleen McGowan's book, Source of Miracles, in which she helps us to journey through the Lord's Prayer in order to be spiritually prepared and transformed to become miracle workers and receive miracles of our own. And isn't Christmas the season in which we are open to the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, more profoundly than normal, moving amongst us? And so we tend to be more open to the joy that is powerfully present in our hearts if we are open to receiving. So we have journeyed through several stages of spiritual transformation of preparation. We began the first week beginning with faith. Then we moved to surrender. Then we moved to service. Then to the miracle of abundance and generosity last Sunday. And now we have arrived, I believe, at the most pivotal spiritual practice of all, forgiveness. But forgiving others is not easy or simple, and yet it is the spiritual path to freedom and joy. I think it's especially important that we explore forgiveness as we are about to gather close with family and friends that we may not have seen a while or where there may have been strain or tension. Christmas can be a difficult time for families because we want to live up to this ideal of the perfect family gathering together, and yet not all families can come together at Christmas. And so there is grief and sadness at not everyone being together. Forgiving others and forgiving ourselves is a spiritual path that Jesus came to talk about. And until we learn to forgive ourselves and others, we can be cut off from the incredible joy that makes miracles possible. It is unforgiveness of ourselves or others that can be the source of so much pain in our lives and hold us prisoners in our own hearts and minds. Brené Brown talks about the shame that comes from feeling like we ourselves are unworthy, that we feel that making a mistake makes us horrible people, and how somewhere along life's journey we have come to believe that we have to live up to some kind of impossible standard of perfection when no such standard of being human exists, outside of our own imagination. Yet here we are as humans, having impossible expectations of ourselves, and perhaps having even more impossible expectations of others, especially people of faith. We can have very unrealistic expectations of ourselves or of others in trying to live up to a high standard of being perfect. After all, didn't Jesus say, "Be perfect, even as your God in heaven is perfect"? But the word in Greek would be more appropriately translated as whole or complete. So be whole or complete, even as God is whole and complete. And to be whole or complete for a human means to come to a place where we can recognize our brokenness, our imperfections, our humanity and failings and weaknesses and shortcomings, as much as it is about discovering our goodness and gifts and light. A whole person or a complete person is a person who is in touch with their shadow and their light. That is what it means to be whole. The journey of forgiveness is the journey of accepting our own humanity and the humanity of others. Being able to forgive ourselves for the mistakes we have made, to forgive our parents for the mistakes they have made, to forgive partners and friends for their betrayals, for forgiving our children, for disappointing, maybe even rejecting us, forgiving employers for mistreating us, forgiving people for not behaving like we think they should, forgiving God for not protecting us from life. These are all the challenges of forgiveness that come our way through our life's journey as humans. And when we can learn to forgive and experience amazing grace for ourselves and offer that grace for others who have harmed us, our souls truly know liberation and freedom and great joy. When we are able to forgive ourselves for being human, we can forgive others their humanity. And when we are able to forgive others their humanity, we are able to forgive ourselves our own humanity. And when we undergo the experience of God's grace, we are able to forgive ourselves and others. And when we are able to forgive God for the hurts we have encountered in life, we can once again find trust and grace. Because you see, our forgiveness, like the scripture talked about today, is all mutually interdependent and interconnected. Our liberation is all tied up with releasing one another. That's what the Lord's Prayer is reminding us when we pray it each week. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive the trespass of others. And Matthew goes on to say after the prayer, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father, Mother, will forgive you yours." There is that flow back and forth. So how do we undergo this process of grace? First, we need to discover who it is we have not forgiven. Perhaps it is ourselves. Perhaps it is another. Perhaps it is God. Who do you have left in your life to forgive? And where does the source of your feelings of hurt or betrayal or disappointment stem? Once we know that, then I think it's important that we write a letter to the person who has harmed us, whether that person is ourselves or God, or another human. Not to send it, for heaven's sakes, don't send it. That'll just keep it going. It's just a letter for us to recognize what exactly is the harm and the hurt that has been done. And after you have written the letter to the one who has harmed you and poured out your heart, left nothing unsaid, unedited, I invite you then to imagine the person apologizing to you. Whether that's that person, whether that, if you're upset with yourself, then it's the older, wiser you forgiving the younger, more foolish, more inexperienced you. Or if the letter of the person you have not forgiven is someone else, a family member, a friend, someone else in your life, it's very important that you imagine that person saying all the things to you that you most need to hear from them, hearing the apology. Because, my friends, it may never come. The person may have no idea, or the person may be incapable of responding in the way that you need them to respond. But it's important that you imagine them saying they're sorry to you. Of imagining their highest soul self telling you what you most need to hear them say to you. It doesn't matter that they could never or would never say to you this to you in real time, because it isn't about their liberation, it's about yours. We can't control in real time what another person thinks of us or has said or done anything to us, but we can control the world of our own imagination and imagine another person saying to us the words we most need to hear them say to us, and being kind and gracious and understanding of us in our imagination. And that is what can finally heal us. And then once we have imagined that conversation, we are invited to forgive them and let our pain and hurt go and bless them and send them into the light. You see, you and I know that we have a lot of conversations going on in our heads. But those conversations might not be healing conversations. They might be angry conversations, and we can get ourselves worked up more and more in our own imaginations and go over and over and nurse our hurts and resentments and grudges. But if we can shift those and imagine a healing conversation, that brings us calm and peace and releases our hurts and prepares our hearts for joy. And as we become practiced at forgiving and receiving the forgiveness of others, it becomes easier and easier as we realize that forgiving another and forgiving ourselves is what finally sets us free. When we forgive others their trespasses against us, your heavenly Father and Mother forgives you yours. Carrying resentment and pain keeps us a prisoner of our own thoughts. Forgiving another sets us free and fills our hearts with joy. Now, if the unforgiveness is toward ourselves for having made a mistake or for hurting someone else, then it is really important that we write a letter to ourselves, a letter of confession, outlining what we have said or done that has harmed others, giving voice to the ways in which we have failed ourselves or someone else. And once we have written the letter, we need to release it and burn it and imagine the person we have harmed forgiving us, our younger, foolish, or more immature selves. Or imagine Jesus, or God, or an angel forgiving us. Because when we withhold grace from ourselves and refuse to forgive ourselves for being human, when we beat ourselves up for not having known better, then we have stepped into a prideful place and put ourselves higher than a God of grace. Because if God can forgive us, who are we not to forgive ourselves? I believe the practice of forgiveness is the most important spiritual practice we will ever practice. And it's something we have to practice regularly. It's at the heart of the soul's transformation and maturity. Only a soul that has released unforgiveness and has learned to be gracious toward others and themselves is truly free. It is one of Jesus' key messages. He pointed out over and over and over again, the kingdom of God comes when we practice forgiveness of ourselves and others. Jesus' message is all about a message about God forgiving us our mistakes, because Jesus understood that it is unforgiveness in our hearts that makes us ill of body, mind, heart, and spirit. It is unforgiveness toward ourselves or others that it is at the heart of all harm. I want to share a story with you, a personal story. I began life a very unforgiving person, I think. I was really hard on my parents for them drinking. And I carried that resentment and that anger for years and years and years. And finally, I said to God, I don't want to carry it anymore. I am so tired of carrying it. I want to forgive. And so I began this process. And one of the first things that had to happen to me is that I had to really mess up. I had to really make some big mistakes in order that I had to learn first before I could forgive others. I had to learn my own humanity, and I had to learn how to forgive myself for making the mistakes. And then when I was able to forgive myself, forgiving others became so much easier. And so I was able to forgive my parents before they passed away, and I'm so glad I did, because shortly after I did that, both of them died 3 years apart. And then here's another piece, important piece of the story. So in a former congregation where I was, there was a beautiful woman who had developed the gift of being able to talk to spirits. And so she was looking for people to practice on to make sure that she wasn't imagining things, that what she was hearing was accurate. So I said, oh, you can practice on me. So she came to my home, we lit candles, we prayed, I invited a couple of friends. And the person who came first through her was my father. And he was weeping. And he said, I feel so badly about how I was not a very good father to you, and I could have done so much better. He said, I'm in a place now where I'm happy. I'm in group therapy. I'm in therapy learning about how I didn't know how to live my emotions when I was on the earth plane. I was full of anger and hurt, and so I spread that out on everyone else. So he said, I have learned now where I am, that my emotions caused a lot of destruction and hurt. And so I want to ask your forgiveness. I can't move on. I can't progress as a soul until I experience that forgiveness. And I said, I forgave you a long time ago. And the person who was talking through, my father was talking through, began to weep and say, I can't believe I've had the opportunity to ask you forgiveness and to receive it. And he just wept for joy. and freedom. When we withhold forgiveness from others, they cannot forgive themselves. But when we can forgive those who have hurt us, we free them too. Our spirituality, our growth, our maturity as humans is interdependent with one another. Because I was able to go through that process and forgive my father, he was able to forgive himself, even in another time and place and space. Charles Dickens' Scrooge is a story of a man filled with bitterness and unforgiveness for the disappointments he has experienced in life. This unforgiveness and resentment has created a stingy soul, unable to connect with fellow humans, and so he lives a life with a stingy and self-protective heart, keeping distant from all relationships. Until Scrooge undergoes a spiritual transformation one night, in which he encounters the ghosts of Christmas past and present and future. And it is only when Scrooge recognizes his own pain and hurts from the past, and recognizes also the ways in which he has harmed others in the past and the present, that he is able to release his pain and forgive both himself and those who have hurt him, which enables him to ask for the forgiveness of others for his own actions and set a course for a different future. So I'd like to share with you two movie clips demonstrating the importance of forgiveness in the healing and transformation of our souls. The first clip is from the 1951 version of A Christmas Carol with Alistair Sims playing Ebenezer Scrooge. It's the morning after he awakens from his spiritual journey from Christmas's past and present and future, and recognizes all the mistakes he has made in his relationships. And he goes to his nephew's house and asks forgiveness of his nephew's wife.
Ebenezer!
Fred, is it too late to accept your invitation to dinner?
Too late? I'm delighted, delighted! My dear, look who it is!
Can you forgive a pig-headed old fool for having no eyes to see with, no ears to hear with? All these years.
Yes, you dear uncle. You've made Fred so happy. Blessed.
The second clip is from the 1984 version of A Christmas Carol with George C. Scott playing Ebenezer Scrooge. It's the morning after he awakens from this spiritual journey through Christmas's past, present, and future, and what he experiences when he recognizes God's amazing grace that comes of having another chance at doing life differently, a joy that comes in forgiving oneself and others, a joy that comes in beginning life anew.
What day? Hello, you there, boy.
Me, sir?
Yes, you, my good fellow. What day is today?
Today? Why, it's Christmas Day, of course.
Christmas Day? I haven't missed it. The spirits did it all in one night. Well, they can do anything they like, of course they can. Hello, my fine fellow.
Hello.
Do you know the poulterers in the next street but one, on the corner?
I should hope I did.
Intelligent boy, remarkable boy. Do you know if they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging there?
What, the one as big as me?
Delightful boy. Pleasure talking to you. The one as big as you.
It's hanging there now.
Well, go and buy it. Yes, go and buy it and bring them round so that I may tell them where to deliver it. Come back with the man, I'll give you a shilling. Come back in less than 5 minutes, I'll give you half a crown. I must dress myself. So much to do. I don't want to lose any time. I was light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. I'm as giddy as a drunken man. Merry Christmas to everybody. And a happy new year to the world.
When we release all the unforgiveness we hold for ourselves and others, joy bubbles up, and the Christ child's message has been delivered and received. This Christmas, as we prepare to meet with family and friends, we are invited to open and to offer the gift of grace and forgiveness. May it be so.